This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How fighting inflation here at home has consequences for the rest of the world. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell is set to speak in a meeting hosted by the IMF today. He'll have a message about the economy, but he'll be speaking to a global audience that is very much affected by what the Fed does here in the U.S. Here's Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton.
He'll have a message that is trying to be both reassuring that he doesn't want to get a hard landing in the United States, and there also won't be ripple effects. We're already seeing other economies have to raise rates just because the Fed is thinking about raising rates. They have to respond to that. The Fed is not just the central bank to the U.S. It's the central bank to the world. That's at the same time he wants to sort of reassure, yes, I'll get rid of inflation for you, but I really want to get a soft landing.
How does that work, though? How does it work, you know, for the Federal Reserve to raise rates in the U.S. and cause consequences abroad?
That's a great question. And the issue is that every time we raise rates in the U.S., the dollar is actually appreciating right now. We're still the reserve currency of the world. Its demise have been, you know, broadly overestimated. It's still very strong. The stronger it is, the weaker currencies are elsewhere. That means that causes inflation in other economies that are already suffering from stagflation. Their economies are actually contracting while inflation is picking up. They're already in that 1970s sort of scenario that is really not good. The problem is, as they keep raising rates, they have a harder time servicing their own debt. And as they raise rates to match the Fed and not have more inflation in their own backyards, that makes it stress on their economies compound the risk of their own debt default, the risk of them having a financial crisis. And the bottom line is, we know what happens in the global economy doesn't stay there. There just is no Las Vegas in the global economy.
Man, as if inflation in the U.S. alone wasn't complicated enough. All right, Diane Swonk is chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thousands of Americans eligible for student loan forgiveness never got the relief they were promised. That is according to a new report from the Government Accountability Office, which blames the Education Department for bad oversight of its income-driven repayment system. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab has been following this. Kristen, who's affected by this?
This loan forgiveness program offers reduced monthly payments for low-income borrowers. The promise is that after 20 or 25 years of steady payments, whatever debt is left is erased. 3,000 borrowers never had their loans forgiven, even though they were eligible. They hold a combined debt of nearly $50 million.
20 to 25 years, though, that's a long time. But what happened here? Why was the money not forgiven?
Investigators at the Government Accountability Office say they're not sure because there are too many gaps in the Education Department's data. But that could be part of the problem, bad record keeping. The report found that before 2014, the department wasn't accurately tracking borrowers' monthly payments. It means people have been paying loans longer than they should have.
What's been the response from the Education Department?
Current borrowers in these income-driven plans will have all their past payments counted towards forgiveness, even if they weren't in an eligible plan at the time. And even people who had stretches of forbearance will be counted. Also, the Federal Student Aid Office says it's going to create a system that will let borrowers check their payment progress. That's especially important because the number of loans that are eligible for forgiveness is supposed to grow. Up to 600,000 borrowers could meet the conditions for forgiveness by 2030. But Democrats in Congress don't think that's enough. They want a full overhaul of the program.
All right. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab, thanks so much.
Thank you.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
As if we needed another contribution to rising prices, we have got one. Bird flu. Bird flu. An outbreak of avian flu is spreading through U.S. poultry flocks. As Marketplace's Savannah Marr reports, this is hitting consumers at the grocery store.
The H5N1 avian flu is very contagious and fatal to birds, so farmers have to kill entire flocks when it reaches commercial farms.
You know, it's hard to say anything aside from it's devastating.
Emily Metz heads up the American Egg Board. She says the current wave has infected more than 27 million chickens and turkeys.
There have been about 6% of our laying hen population that's been affected.
And with ongoing supply chain issues, that's been enough to drive up the price of eggs. Brian Ernest, a poultry industry analyst with the rural lending institution CoBank, says the wholesale price was under $1.50 a dozen in early March.
And we saw prices being reported over $3 a dozen leading into the Easter timeframe, and so more than double.
He says outbreaks of this virus tend to taper off with warmer weather.
We've probably seen the peak behind us.
Still, if the virus continues to reach commercial farms, higher egg and poultry prices could linger. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
We learned this week that the number of new home construction projects rose last month, according to the Commerce Department. The gain was entirely due to apartment and condo buildings, which, you know, is good. More housing is more housing. But demand has been rising for all kinds of homes, not just apartment buildings. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
When people started moving out of cities during the pandemic and into the suburbs, they didn't just push up home prices in those areas.
They also bid up rents in these outlying areas.
That's Brad Dillman, chief economist with Cortland, a developer of multifamily buildings. Those higher rents in outlying areas have provided an incentive to build more apartments.
When we think about where developers might want to build, it's very clear that there's more and more development being pushed into suburban and exurban and even what we might call outer ring type of markets.
Especially in Florida, Arizona, Texas, and other Sunbelt states. John Kirk is managing director of Embry Partners, a multifamily development company based in San Antonio. He says even though renting is getting more expensive, it still beats buying for many people.
You know, people need a place to live, and affordability for just to go out and buy a home, the headache to buy a home, the process, the down payment, the maintenance, it just makes it tough.
Kirk says the supply of multifamily units still isn't keeping up with demand, in part because it's been tough to source building materials and because labor is in short supply.
Being a fully integrated development company with our own construction arm, it is hard. We see it and breathe it daily.
But multifamily builders have some advantages, too. For instance, real estate professor Susan Wachter at the Wharton School says lots are in short supply. So
if you can build 4-10 units on a quarter acre as opposed to one unit on a quarter acre, you save, you economize on the cost of land.
Plus, multifamily units are often built to identical plans, says Mark Vittner, senior economist at Wells Fargo.
So you'll see an apartment tower in San Diego that's exactly like an apartment tower in Orlando. That's exactly like one in Charlotte. And so being able to use that model repeatedly across a number of markets helps, you know, to standardize some inputs.
As more multifamily buildings go up this year, Vittner says we can expect rents to stabilize. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know.
Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.